headlines this hour. Four more foreign soldiers die in Afghanistan as tribal leaders in the country's south call for an end to the US-led offensive. The leaders of the military coup in Niger have agreed to hold elections after drafting a new constitution. And thousands join an anti-US rally in the Pakistani capital. The protesters demand the release of a jailed Pakistani scientist. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, welcome to Press TV News. NATO has announced the deaths of four more of its troops in Afghanistan. The International Security Assistance Force, ISAF, says two of them were killed on Saturday. NATO says two of the soldiers were involved in Operation Mushtarak. Two dozen foreign troops have been killed in the war-torn country since the high-profile offensive was launched in Helmand province. Half of them have been killed as a direct result of the operation, which is aimed at ridding Helmand of militants. Tribal elders in the southern Afghan province of Helmand, meanwhile, want an end to the US-led anti-Taliban offensive there. In a gathering in the center of Helmand, the elders expressed worry about the way the operation has been handled so far. They say the offensive is taking its toll on the people in the central city of Madjah. The elders warn that if help doesn't reach people, the region is sure to face a catastrophe. They're not the only ones to worry. Rights groups say people living on the front line of the major offensive are trapped in their homes with little access to food and medicine. The London-based think tank, the International Council for Security Development, says the planners of this major operation have little regard for civilian well-being. We spoke to our correspondent in Kabul, who told us whether people in southern Afghanistan believe real progress is being made there.
The situation is quite precarious now in Helmand province, and the operation is slow. Foreign troops, as well as Afghan soldiers, cannot move through the town of Marja because the Taliban militants still have a great presence there. And tribal elders today say that the Marja district are still under the control of the Taliban militants. Many people are not optimistic that this operation will help to reverse the current worsening security situation of Afghanistan, but would make the Taliban more aggressive and create more problems for the people of Helmand province especially.
Now, more than 1,000 British troops have been wounded in action in Afghanistan since 2006. Figures released by Britain's Ministry of Defence also indicate that up until the end of 2009, nearly 170 troops were classed as having suffered the loss of limbs in battle with the Taliban. 2009 was the bloodiest year with 109 fatalities. Over 500 soldiers and Marines were also wounded in action. That's more than double the number of the previous year. Government figures for this January alone show nearly 50 soldiers have been wounded. Commanders expect the casualties in Helmand province to increase in areas where the Taliban are still active. Dutch Prime Minister Jan-Peter Balkenende says he expects his country's troops to leave Afghanistan as planned. The announcement comes a day after the Dutch government collapsed over disagreements on extending its military mission in Afghanistan. Balkenende's Christian Democrats Party wanted to agree to a NATO request to keep troops in Afghanistan beyond 2010. The idea was bitterly opposed by the Labour Party. Around 1,600 Dutch troops have been deployed to southern Afghanistan since 2006. 21 of them have been killed so far. The military junta in Niger has agreed to hold elections after a change of the constitution. It came during a meeting with a visiting international delegation.
We have had a very good meeting with a new authority in power. They have assured us there will be an opening for everyone here in Niger for an inter-Nigerian dialogue with all the political forces. And it is this process that will lead to a new constitution and will also lead to credible and transparent elections.
All diplomats from the United Nations, the African Union and the Economic Community of West African States visited Niamey after the military coup on Thursday. The army removed President Mamadou Tandja as he refused to step down when his mandate expired. Tandja had grown deeply unpopular since he changed the constitution last year to hold on to his post beyond a 10-year limit. Well, earlier we spoke to Amira Woods of Washington's Institute for Policy Studies. She believes regional bodies must pressure Niger's military junta to set a date for elections.
I think there are tremendous opportunities for particularly the regional allies, the regional bodies, to hold pressure through sanctions and through other economic means to pressure the military junta to set a time frame and to stick to a time frame. I think there is a clear sense from the African Union that military coups are no longer acceptable within the African Union, and there has been all efforts put out to put pressure on the junta to end its hold on power. I think those pressures have to intensify to ensure that a time frame is set for a transition to civilian rule, and that the efforts of the military to hold on to power, as we've seen now in Guinea and in a number of other areas, unfortunately, that those efforts have to be quelled.
Now, Nigerian police have arrested around 100 people protesting the presence of former U.S. President George Bush and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair in their country. The protest organizer says men with a bad record on human rights are not welcome in Nigeria. The demonstrators say they wanted to show their anger at anti-human policies of Bush and Blair. Activists say the two fought illegal wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which still continue to cause pain for the people in both countries. The demonstration was held in front of a hotel in the Nigerian capital, where the former leaders were attending an award ceremony. Now, talks to end a massive strike at the French oil giant Total have failed. Negotiations reportedly fell apart when the French labor union CGT walked out of the talks. Total workers are protesting the possible closure of the company's Dunkirk refinery in northern France. The union is now calling for the strike to spread to all French refineries. 80% of Total's workers were on strike on Sunday. Officials say France has 10 to 20 days of fuel supplies to cope with the refinery strike. Now, Lufthansa pilots are preparing for the biggest airline strike in Germany's history. More than 4,000 pilots from the cockpit union are planning to take part in the strike from Monday to Thursday. The union has ignored a last-minute appeal by managers for talks. The pilots are demanding a pay rise and job security. They are also asking for an end to pay discrepancies between Lufthansa in Germany and foreign subsidiaries. Lufthansa carries 150,000 passengers a day, and the strike would ground two-thirds of the flag carrier's flights. 3 days have passed since a pilot flew his plane into a building in Texas, and the U.S. media have provided little coverage of the incident. At least two people were killed and 30 more injured. Now, a prominent Muslim group says the U.S. officials would have labeled the suicide incident a terrorist attack if the pilot had been a Muslim. The Council on American-Islamic Relations denounces the double standard and says the attack fits the legal definition of terrorism. It also says the double standard indicates the meaninglessness of Washington's definition of terrorism. U.S. officials have called the incident a deliberate assault on a U.S. government institution, but refused to call it a terrorist attack. Now, two American Army pilots have been killed in northern Iraq. The U.S. military says the two service members were killed when their helicopter crashed near an airfield. No hostile fire has been reported. The military says the cause of the crash is under investigation. More than 4,000 American troops have been killed in Iraq since the invasion of the country in March 2003. Thousands of people have poured into the streets of Islamabad to protest against the conviction of a Pakistani citizen, Aifa Siddiqui, on charges of attempted murder of U.S. troops during her detention in Afghanistan. She disappeared in Karachi in 2003 and was seized in 2008 by Afghan security forces.
More and more people are joining what appears to be sustained agitation against the U.S. At the heart of fresh wave of anti-U.S. agitation is a recent conviction of Pakistani neuroscientist Dr. Afia Siddiqui by a New York court for attempting to kill the U.S. soldiers during her detention in 2008. Although none of the U.S. soldiers was injured in the incident, but Afia herself was wounded. Contradictions in prosecution case against her remain a big source of public anger in Pakistan against the U.S.
The whole war on terror is a fraud. Public sentiments are very high and they're at a brink and at any time can get out of control. It's becoming more and more difficult every time.
Right activists point out that Dr. Afia was in fact arrested from Karachi in 2003 by Pakistan intelligence agencies, only to be handed over to the U.S. military. They blame U.S. military for torturing and raping her during detention in Afghanistan.
It's going to expose the horrible and ugly face of America. How they have been violating and human rights violations, torturing a lady 5 years in Bagram, and then making a fabricated story and taking her away to the New York prison, where they are mentally, further they are torturing her.
This is biggest anti-U.S. gathering since Dr. Afia was convicted. Public resentment against the U.S. is now reaching to a tipping point, and so goes for Pakistani government. People largely believe that the government is simply paying lip service to secure her release and avoiding to do that everybody in this gathering is asking for.
Now people are demanding the government to cut off NATO supply lines from Pakistan to Afghanistan until U.S. releases Dr. Afia.
They have to cut the supply for the NATO forces. They have to use this option. And this is a actual way that they have to put pressure on Americans. They have to put pressure in all ways to ask the Americans that they have to release Dr. Afia.
Javed Rana, Press TV, Islamabad.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. Time for a recap of the headlines this hour. Four more foreign soldiers die in Afghanistan as tribal leaders in the country's south call for an end to the U.S.-led offensive. The leaders of the military coup in Niger have agreed to hold elections after drafting a new constitution. And thousands join an anti-US rally in the Pakistani capital. The protesters demand the release of a jailed Pakistani scientist.